Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you. Hope you're having a blessed day. We're going to talk about a subject that I think needs to be a theme at least for the rest of this month, if not for the rest of our lives. We're going to talk about being thankful. Being thankful. You can be turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to use this scripture as a theme. And I think that some of you, before the message is over, may have it memorized. Those of you who still have those sharp minds that tend to grasp things rather quickly. So we're going to talk about being thankful using Colossians 3 verses 12 through 17 as a text, as a theme, as a focus for today. So let's pray together and let's get into this subject. God, Father in heaven, indeed, we do have so very much to be thankful for. Every good and pleasant gift is from you. And even during our most difficult trials, we know that we can give thanks in all circumstances because of Jesus, because of the salvation that we have. And if we had nothing else but salvation through Jesus, we have the most precious gift of all. Bless our time together today. Help our hearts, God, to be soft before you. Pray your Spirit would speak to us, that we would be moved to appreciate and love and honor you in a greater way. Thank you for this ministry. Thank you for the many people who serve to make it a ministry that's honorable before you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, really what the Apostle Paul has done here is he's taken the Christians back to the day of their baptism, the day that they came to Christ. And he's reminding them of the transition, the transformation that's supposed to take place in their lives. And he says here in Colossians 3 verse 12, he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I think this is a great passage of scripture to have a quiet time on, to meditate on, and to ask yourself, what is this passage teaching me? What is the lesson that God wants me to learn from this particular scripture? And I think if we look at it from a perspective of thankfulness, a perspective of gratitude, there's so many lessons that we can learn. That we've been chosen by God. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we're dearly loved by God. We have to decide that in our lives that we're going to focus on God. And because of God's love, I am a new creation. I've been transformed. I've been forgiven, the scripture teaches me. Therefore, I need to forgive others. That I need to put on love because God has blessed me with his love. He goes on, he says, let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. That through Jesus, we have a peace that surpasses understanding. We need to let the word of God dwell in our hearts richly, dwell in our hearts daily. And we need to, out of gratitude, sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, and give thanks in every situation, every task, every place, because we represent Jesus. clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Clothe yourself with thanksgiving. There are things in our lives that are not natural for us. We may not be naturally compassionate or kind. We may not be naturally humble, few of us are, or gentle, or patient, or thankful. But as disciples, we put these things on. We get up and we clothe ourselves in Christ. We decide, I'm going to focus on this attribute, on this virtue, and I'm going to make myself do what I know is right until it becomes who I am. I'm going to practice it. I'm going to do it over and over and over again until it's embedded deeply in my heart. What motivates you to live a Christian life? A lot of people are motivated for different things, some for the wrong reasons. God doesn't want you to be here out of fear, though we are to revere God. But the fear of condemnation, the fear of going to hell, will only last so long and take you so far. Some people come and are motivated by guilt. You know, my soul is burdened with past transgressions, and because I'm guilty, I know I need to come and worship and offer up some praises to God, offer up some thanks to God. Well, that will only take you so far. Because after a while, the guilt dissipates and you don't feel it as intensely. I think the greatest motivation is love and thankfulness, gratitude, understanding that the reason I'm a Christian, and I think if we really thought about it, the reason that we're here is because we are grateful, thankful, appreciative of what God's done for us. Really, the definition, I think, for a disciple could simply be someone who's thankful to God for what he's done in their lives and who wants to show God on a daily basis that they are thankful. If you're not a Christian, it's not because you don't understand the Bible or the scriptures or you got a bad attitude towards somebody. You're really not as grateful for Jesus and the salvation that's been given to you. You don't understand it, you don't appreciate it, therefore you haven't responded. You can call it whatever you want. But when you appreciate and understand what God's done for you, the only answer to that is to worship and to serve God. An attitude and spirit of thankfulness should be evident in all of our lives. Ingratitude just confirms that we don't understand what God's done for us. None of us should be ungrateful. We may have our battles with it, but at the end of the day, to have been chosen by God, to be saved, to have had someone reach out to us, for God to open our hearts up to respond, to think about where we'd be this morning if we didn't know Jesus. Or even if we would be, if we didn't know Jesus. Our hearts should be overwhelmed with thankfulness. So I've got some points that I want to make this morning that I think will help you on just how to be thankful, how to remain thankful. Are you feeling thankful this morning? Now this is the month of Thanksgiving, right? And so we should be thankful. This should be in our hearts, in our souls, and it should be evident on our faces and our outward appearance. You should have woken up this morning. I'm just thankful. And no matter what happens this Tuesday, I'm still going to be thankful. I'm just thankful. You can call this nation whatever you want. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful that God allowed me to live at this time, in this age, for the years that I've had. We could just go on and count our blessings on and on and on and on. And it's an endless list. So we should be thankful. But at times, we can begin to revert back to ingratitude and cynicism and bitterness and criticalness and forget how good we had it. So how to remain thankful? Number one, don't live in the past. Don't live in the past. What does he tell us? He says, you're God's chosen people. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances ye may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. One of the ways to stay thankful is to keep forgiving. Forget the past. Keep moving on. Don't get stuck in a rut with past sins, with past wrongs, with past disappointments. And if someone's done you wrong, whether you feel like they've done the right things to get resolved or not, their actions do not determine your forgiveness. He says, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. God forgave us. Jesus forgave us long before we responded. Long before we set our eyes on him, he forgave us. We just had to get to a point where we accepted the forgiveness. Here's a great psalm. Psalm 103, verse 1. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Did you get that, church? Forgives all your sins. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when we sin, we feel like there's something that we need to do, some miraculous effort that we need to make to be forgiven. You need to understand this. When you sin, the minute you return to God, the minute you say, God, I repent, God, forgive me, that sin's forgiven. You don't have to confess to anybody. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to email anybody. God forgives you. He forgets it. He never brings it up again. He never leaves it on the list. He never reminds you of it. That's the heart of God. Forgive all our diseases. And some of us, we feel like, well, unless someone beats me, unless I cry, unless I'm on the hot seat, then I'm truly forgiven. No. The prodigal son was accepted the minute he turned toward home. That's the heart of God. Just look my way. I'm ready to forgive you. And you don't need to be burdened with that sin. Well, Sam, how many times? As many times as you repent. That's how many times. And the disciples wanted to give a number. They said 70. Or 70. Jesus said 70 times 7. Really understanding that there is no limit to God's forgiveness. As long as there's no limit to our repentance. He says, if he heals all others, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then down in verse 10 of Psalm 103, he says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Is that not a blessing? Is that not an awesome promise from God? And if God has done that for us, why can't we do that for other people? Why can't we have the same heart toward others that God has toward us? Sometimes when people do us wrong, God says, look, forgive them. I forgive you. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed your transgressions from you. I don't treat you as your sins deserve. Why don't we have the same attitude? I'm not going to treat you as maybe I think your sins deserve because God hasn't treated me in the way that my sins deserve. We should be quick to forgive, quick to get over things, quick to move on. That doesn't mean you weren't hurt. That doesn't mean it didn't burn your soul there for a minute. But come on! You can't be thankful when you're dwelling on all the negative and bad things that happened to you. to forgive others. Get over stuff. Says, well, Sam, that's easy for you to say. You're not feeling the pain that I felt. Well, did you feel more pain than Jesus did? He was on the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross. What would you have said if you were on that cross? While people were mocking you and ridiculing you and gambling for your clothes. God knows, when I get down off this cross, when I come back in 3 days, you just wait. You gambling now. But you just wait till I come back. That wasn't the heart of Jesus. You know, some of us struggle more with forgiveness than others. And I think a lot of times the struggle with forgiveness is a failure to face the reality that you're a sinner yourself. And that no one's sin is any better than your sin. That it took the death of Jesus to forgive all our sins. You got to move on. And sometimes somebody's name comes up and it bothers you. Let it go. How you got to mention them? I was doing good. Somebody mentions a year. That year, oh man, that year. That was a bad year. Get over it. That year is in the past. You can't do anything about the past. You're a new creation. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is what, church? The old is what? Then let it go. Let it go. The new has come. What can you do about yesterday? What can you do about it? You know, being thankful may or may not change your circumstances. But it will change what your circumstances do to you. Your whole attitude in whatever circumstance you may find yourself will determine the impact that those circumstances will have upon you. Be thankful. Let go of the past. Let it go. Put it in the rearview mirror. Move forward. Don't get stuck in a rut. You know, one quote from a lady named Ann Landers, she said this, hanging on to resentment is letting someone you despise live rent-free in your head. Don't let that stuff run around in your head. Some of us, we're upset with people and they're not even thinking about you. You're not even on their mind. They're laughing, having fun. You look at them like, how can they be that way when they know they did this to me? And they're like, what's wrong with you? You? Move on, will you? Move on, you. What does the scripture say? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's a peace that comes from knowing that God's washed away all your sins. And that you cannot be touched by sin and by the devil. You're at peace because you can walk with God every day. You're at peace because you can go to bed at night with a clear conscience, knowing that whether you woke up the next morning or not, you would be in a better place. You know that. You're at peace in the midst of the storm because Jesus promised, I will be with you always. Does the peace of Christ rule in your heart? Are you at peace? Do you have that internal joy that can't be taken away? Because you know God. Because God is with you. Jesus said to us, peace I live with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Number one, let go of the past. Stop bringing it up. Unless there's a lesson you learn from it that's going to help propel you forward. Just move forward. Why? Stop bringing up what your husband did to you 3 years ago. Come on. Let the man out of the doghouse. Set him free. He'll be a better husband for you. him enslaved that maybe you can manipulate him to do what you want him to do. No, he'll do more. He'll do better if you you just unlock the cage and throw away the key. Let the man out so he can love you the way he's supposed to love you. Husband, let it go. Let it go. Yeah, the girl hurt you. She said some things that maybe she shouldn't have said. And you saw her mama in her there for a minute. But that's okay. She's a new creation. She's been saved by the blood of Jesus. Let it go. Oh, she calls you this. She calls you that. Get over it, okay? You know that's not what she meant. She was just having an ism at the moment, going through something. Let it go. It happens to all of us. Why do we want to stay there? Just say, honey, I forgive you. It's over. Just don't ever call me that again. But I'm going to move on. Sugar. You mean it? Hey, sweetie, you pass your sugar on over here with your sweet stuff. So you don't get indigestion and heartburn that you need. Let it go. Number two, express thanks. Express thanks. What does he tell us here? He says you need to sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And when the thankfulness and the gratitude is in your soul, it comes out. It comes out in how you talk. It comes out if you find yourself spontaneously singing songs. And you don't have to be on the worship team to do that. One of the things we teach our kids from the very beginning, just basic manners. It happened on my way in here when I opened the door for one of the kids and the parents said, say thank you. Say thank you. And that's what we do with our kids. Someone say thank you. Say thank you. Now I want to say something to the adult kids. Say thank you. Tell somebody. Say thank you. Help them out. Maybe a thousand times, but when our kids were struggling with ingratitude, Cynthia had them write a list of all the things you're thankful for. Give me 100 things you're thankful for, and don't get up until you get to 100. Maybe some of us need that. Maybe that's what we need to do over Thanksgiving, is start a Thanksgiving journal, remembering all the good that God has done in your life. Express thanks. Tell other people you're thankful for them. Even if you think they should know it. It's like, honey, you know I'm thankful. Why do I have to keep telling you? Because you need to say it. And she needs to hear it. I'm thankful for Cynthia Powell. God knows I'm thankful. I'm thankful that she's my best friend. I'm thankful for every meal she's ever cooked for me. I'm thankful, I mean, for most of the discipling times that we've had. For her convictions about God. I'm thankful that she's committed to the Lord, that she's solid in her faith. Man, I'm thankful that she loves me the way that she loves me. I'm thankful that she thinks I'm handsome. I'm thankful for that. I don't care what you think. I'm not married to you. I don't give a flip about what you think. I don't care about what she thinks. I'm thankful that somebody still feels that way about me. Express it, say it. Tell your Bible talk leader, your mission group leader, just say thank you. Thank you for trying to make this group work. And forgive me for not helping make it work, but thank you for trying. Express thanks. Children, tell your parents you're thankful. Write them a note. expressing thanks. If you got money, give them a few dollars too. They'll be happy for that. You know, we sing these songs. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Can you sing those songs in your quiet time? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love, what does it say? Endures forever. You guys know the song. Are you singing it to the Lord? Sing those songs with all your heart. Psalm 100, great song. Look at what it says. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with what? Gladness. And come before him with joyful song. Do you know God wants to hear your voice? So with Sam, I don't have that much of a voice. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. Maybe the person sitting next to you does, but God didn't care. He doesn't care. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with what, church? Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Give what? Thanks to him. And praise his name. For the Lord is good. And his love, what? Endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Are you thanking the Lord God Almighty, who is so awesome, who knows you, who loves you, who knows the number of hairs on your head, who's concerned about even the little itty-bitty issues of your life, who will never leave you or forsake you, who watches over you day and night, both your coming and your going, who is for you and with you, who's in you, who will be there in the very end, who will welcome you into the eternal gate of heaven, and who will stand before you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on home, girl. I've been watching and waiting for you a long time. Thank that God. Right now, who's blessed your life? Here you are. You think about it. My brother and I were talking this morning, Scott and I, about the fact that this week Scott turned 60. Scott Williams getting old. But he's still here. And we've seen a lot of people come and go in all these many years. And though life on the other side is much better, thank God. I mean, because there are a lot of men of color who don't make it to 60. Now, you girls, y'all seem to live forever, but that's all right. That's all right. Somebody got to bury us, right? So, but thankful, thank God. Some of us, it's a miracle that you're here this morning. You know that? You have just defied the odds. And it's not because of your great physical health or the vitamins that you take or that you're gluten-free. That's not it. It's that you're sin-free by the grace of God. It's that Jesus has been in your life. That's made the difference for us. And so we've got to understand that we need to express thanks. You know, the 10 lepers, Jesus healed them. What was his question? Was no one found to return and give thanks and give praise to God except this one? God is waiting. Well, will you return? Say thank you. That's what it means to be a Christian. I thank God every day for the way he blessed me, the wife he's given me, the children he's given me, the friendships he's given me, the life he's given me, the health he's given me, everything. I know some of you saying, well, Sam, my health is not that good. Well, you could be dead. I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. I mean, you don't have to be here, right? And even if you did leave here, there's a better life on the other side. So are we expressing expressions, then don't be stingy with your thanks. So, I ain't gonna give away my thanks. Give them away. What you holding on to them for? What you? I mean, it's like now is the time to express thanks. When I get to heaven, you don't need to thank me. I'm just like, man, look, I'm good. I'm just good. Now is the time. Because when I get to heaven, I don't want to talk to you. Maybe I just want to see Jesus. Say, bro, I should have told you down on earth, I appreciate you. No. Maybe you should have. But why are you bringing it up now? I'm here. So if you want to express thanks, do it now. Okay? Do it now. Do it today. And finally, how to remain thankful? It's simple. Give. Give. He says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Through Him. Give. Serve. Sacrifice. Being thankful simply means giving back. And the most thankful people are not selfish people. They're givers. Now, I was talking to a brother last night at my daughter's 30th birthday party. Can you believe it? My baby is 30. Man, Cynthia and I were both 45 when we had our first child. We're 45, she's 30. Isn't that miraculous? Not really. 30 years old. Incredible. Unbelievable. But the brother was saying, look, you know, this Thanksgiving, I want to go and feed the homeless. Now, I want to go and meet the needs of homeless people in New York. You know what that's going to do? That's going to make him more appreciative of how God has blessed him. He's not just going to spend his whole Thanksgiving sitting around overeating and watching football games and falling asleep in front of the TV. Now, there are moments. Those are good moments sometimes, too. I'm not taking that away from you. But be a giver. Be a giver. Thankful people are people who look to give more than just receive. And sometimes we're wondering, now, why am I not just happy? Why am I just kind of stuck, a little irritable? Maybe it's because you're too focused on you and not on others. Because when you're focused on others, you don't have time to sit around moping and moaning and groaning about what you don't have. You go out there and you're helping a homeless person, and then you go back to your little apartment that you weren't too fired up about and go, praise God. Praise God. Man, I got shelter. I mean, and thank God that I got a place and I just helped somebody who has nothing. I mean, nothing. They would think that if they had what I had, it would be heaven on earth. And God has blessed some of us, oh my goodness, immeasurably more than we could have asked or imagined. I remember some of you as singles. You were broke. You had nothing. You had nothing, man. I mean, it's like, and look at what God has done in your life. Come on. Is that not the goodness and the grace of God? In Acts 20, as we come to a close here, in Acts 20, Paul said in verse 35, "And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed, believe this church, it is more blessed to do what? Give than receive. Give. Give away. Don't just go and have your Thanksgiving dinner just with you." You know, we were making our list the other day. I think we're up about 20 people right now coming over to the powerhouse. I mean, that's a lot of folks in there. And they're all not physically related to me. But it just makes it better that other people get to taste Cynthia's turkey other than just me. That someone else gets to partake of that sweet potato casserole, which is so good. Oh, it is so good. I wish all of you could have some, but then all of you would want to come over to my house after Thanksgiving. A brother can only handle so much. But I'm just glad that someone else gets to partake of that, and I get to watch them go, oh my word, what's in that stuff? It's a secret recipe. You cannot have it. But it's amazing. And that we get to do all this and to share how God's blessed us. In Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. Remember the scripture? A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Give! Give! And express your thanks, and you'll appreciate even more how God's blessed you. It'll make your heart at a better place. Put it at a better place. And then finally, Malachi 3, verse 10. And this is not just about tithing. This is a spiritual principle. The Lord says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. God says, I want you to test me in this. If you sacrifice for me, if you give away what you have for me, if you'll consider others better than yourself and be willing to give of your abundance or even of your poverty, touch me and see if I won't blow your mind. So much blessing you won't even be able to stand it. It'd be like, God, that's enough blessing for today. I don't need any more blessing. That's a promise that we've seen become a reality in our lives. A reality. That's why I give my contribution every week. And I wasn't here for a few weeks, and we had to make up today. It was a big makeup. Big makeup. But with no hesitation, this scripture, I can test me in this. And see if I won't bless you. And I don't give to get blessed. I give because I've already been blessed. Already been blessed. And if God didn't give me another blessing, He's already overwhelmed me with blessing. But give. This month. Give of yourself. Give. I mean, all this stuff you got piled up in your closet, which you're not going to wear. The philosophy is simply this. If you haven't worn it in a year, you're not going to wear it. And for a lot of us, you can't wear it. It's gone. That's it. You're going forward. You're not going backwards. Just let it go. Even if it's still got the tags on it, just, hey, I need to give this to somebody else. Bring it here. Someone will take it. Trust me. But we got all this stuff. And some of us are going to have more food than we can eat. What you going to do with it? Well, I got leftovers for the rest of it. I mean, how much turkey can you actually eat? You eat too much turkey, you become a turkey. So don't be greedy. Give. Don't have Thanksgiving by yourself. Don't use a holiday to be a hermit. Don't hold back on serving others. Be thankful. And you know when you need to start being thankful? Today. They will say, I want to go home and meditate on this and fast for a few days and have a little talk with Jesus, have a little walk with Jesus, and just maybe the Lord, the Holy Spirit will come down and bless me with the spirit of thanksgiving. No. Clothe yourself with thanksgiving. Now, right now, start right now. Tell somebody, as we come to a close of this message, something you're thankful for. Right now. Do it right now. Now, you shouldn't hesitate on that. I'm thankful for it. Tell somebody something thankful for.